Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners.
That was his voice there. And we are coming to you, not live, from London, England. We have got another film for you to watch this week, haven't we, Marek?
But it's not a film that's in the cinema.
No. We've tracked down another film you can watch for free in these economically troubled times.
How do you watch it for free?
On the internet.
All right, whereabouts?
YouTube.
That sounds pretty simple.
Just search for it on YouTube and the full film is there, legitimately, it would seem. So you're not even ripping anyone off.
It's actually, what's interesting is I watched this film, it's there on 720p, which is a better quality. I watched it in black and white.
Yeah.
And you watched it in Technicolor.
I did watch it in Technicolor, yes. But the film itself is called The Last Man on Earth. Now, you may not have heard of this film. It is 1964?
Yes.
And it stars Vincent Price. And it's based upon the book I Am Legend, which you may have heard of because there have been four films based upon the book I Am Legend, of which this is
one. I Am Legend. Mermaids.
Mermaids, yeah. Garfield 2, A Tale of Two Kitties. And The Last Man on Earth. Yes, I Am Legend being the most high-profile one, I guess, with Will Smith and a dog. But this is from ages and ages ago, and I think it actually tells the story a bit truer to what the book is.
I've read the book. It's by Robert Matheson, I think.
Yeah.
And I've read over 50 books in my life.
Jesus!
I think I've read over 150.
And how many of those have you written?
Are those books?
Yeah.
None.
Bloody hell, because I think I've probably now read over 50 books, but I wrote, you know, over 50% of
those.
Are
you a big reader?
No, I'm a really slow reader.
Really?
So, yeah.
I'm surprised.
I read at the pace of a sort of soporific narrator, because I imagine it in my head as it's going, so I read at the speed that somebody reading it to put me to sleep would read it out.
I try and read at least a book a month, and it makes me happy, more than that. I'm surprised, because if I listen to this, I go, all right, that Yorkshire guy is a big reader. The other guy...
I love books, don't get me wrong. I'm just...
You just like the look of them rather than the actual words inside.
Yeah, I do. And they taste good.
The smell of an old book.
Mmm.
Yes, please.
And the hand of an old friend.
I should use this opportunity while we're talking about... My brother's written a book.
Has he?
I told you this before ages ago.
Oh, no, you did. I think writing a book is possibly one of the most exciting things ever.
And the hardest things. His second book he's writing now, so I've read the script of it beforehand, a sci-fi one. But his first book called by... His name is Kieran Larwood, and it's called Freaks. And a couple of people... Chris Webb's read it, and he loved it.
Oh, really?
One of our regular listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
And a few other people. And
hi, Chris.
A lady in, I think it's Anne Coletta's read it as well. It's a very good book. Buy it on Amazon. Freaks by Kieran Larwood. But anyway, back to I Am Legend, which I thought the book is a short sort of a sci-fi novel.
It's a wonderful premise for a story. I mean, it's been around for long enough. It won't spoil any of the films because they all deviate from it to tell you what it's about. But basically, a virus that resembles vampirism when it infects people, but it's not exactly that. Wipes out mankind and only one man is left, or so he thinks. Robert Neville, Dr. Robert Neville, and he is the last man left alive, and he spends his days trying to stock up on stuff so he can survive the night when all of the undead come out, because they're sensitive to sunlight like vampires are. And he's trying to find a cure and kill these vampires one by one as he tracks them down during the day where they sleep. But it's called I Am Legend. I can tell the twist, right? It's really good.
Maybe not. I wouldn't, actually. I just think it's so good that you maybe can't.
Okay, I think we've talked about it before on this podcast.
Well, don't listen to any other episodes.
No, no one does.
Well, first of all, because I watched this in black and white, I thought it looked amazing in black and white.
Okay, I can't possibly comment.
But did it look good? did it look good in the colour?
Yeah, it did. It's a 60s film, so it's got that sort of creepy stock to it anyway. Everything's quite bright in those days, though, isn't it?
Well, it was the colour thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, they pop, don't they? The colours pop.
I would recommend watching this in black and white.
Okay.
But before we could talk about the film itself, because I also watched another film, because I don't know which one we're going to use, a New Zealand film called A Quiet Earth, which is a similar premise, which is a regular premise, which is something quite romantic about. It's used quite a lot, of you being, and something, when there's lots of building work going on and everyone in humanity is being an arsehole,
yeah,
we all fantasise about being the last person on Earth.
Yeah.
What would you do?
If I was the last person on Earth?
How long do you think you'd last before you topped yourself?
Oh, I don't think I'd top myself. I think I'd die of ineptitude long before I got depressed enough to top myself.
Too many sausages.
Well, I can't drive, for instance, so I wouldn't be able to pick up anything to bring back to my house. I'd have to carry everything by hand.
But the thing is, you wouldn't have to. The biggest problem with driving is
other people.
Yeah, as soon as you take that out of the way, you can just drive anywhere.
Then I'd learn to drive, first and foremost. Drive around.
Yeah.
Learn to mirror signal manoeuvre, that kind of thing.
The first thing you do is get that highway code book from the library.
I would. And I'd learn to drive. That would be great. God, that'd be depressing. I mean, it's an understatement, isn't it? Just living with nothing to live for. I mean, it's
all the people. There's quite a similarity between. I've seen quite a lot of films where everyone thinks they're the last man,
and they're not. Well, it's because I think from a storytelling point of view, you can only take the "I am alone" so far before that it literally is going to hit a dead end at one point.
Yeah,
you know, you've got to. But what's blow their mind at some point. I mean, you know, I think Moon does it. I think Oblivion does it. I think, you know.
What is fascinating is that a lot of films where I've seen where it's been the last man, never any of the last women. No. I want to see the last woman on Earth, see what she does.
Yeah. Would it be different?
Well, men do sort of quite. They all drive around in Ferraris, don't they? And they wear nice. It's first of all, it's something like the material phase. Well, I can do this. I can eat anything I want. I can wear whatever I want. I can drive this nice car.
Well, that's interesting, because what colour shirt do you think Vincent Price was wearing in this film? Because you saw it in black and white. What colour do you think it was? Because you say he was wearing a nice shirt.
Is it white?
No.
Cream, is it?
No. It was quite iconic.
What colour was it?
Bright yellow.
Oh, Vincent.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll have that one. That'll go nicely with those.
Well, I was actually, when I was watching it, thinking, oh, that's quite recognisable. Look, you could go to a Halloween party dressed as Dr. Robert Neville. But then I thought, most people saw this in black and white. And in fact, most people have never seen this. So it would be a duff costume, really.
And it's definitely yellow in real life.
Yeah.
How do they... I don't know how Technicolor works. Do you know how it works?
Technicolor?
Yeah. Colourisation, I meant.
Colourisation? No, I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works. I can only imagine they have to go through and fabricate the colour over the top of each and every frame.
Because on Facebook there was an amazing... you know, everyone must use Facebook. Everyone, when people share photos, someone had colourised all these...
yes.
10th century photos.
Yes.
And it was amazing how the people look like us. There was a sense of history you put in your head when it's black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as that's eliminated, it's quite shocking.
It's true. It's a lot of what is historical is the medium on that you're looking at it on, like the old film stock or the way it moves. Like, because so much old black and white film, when it was hand cranked, it's got that weird, not quite correct speed way of moving. That if you actually film people with modern cameras back then, it would be it would look like a load of people in costumes. It would be no different. No, it's fascinating.
So let's talk about Vincent Price first of all.
Vincent Price. That was more Peter Lorre. I apologise.
Are you a fan of
his? I am a big fan of Vincent Price. I'm a big fan of all of those old, what were they called? Hammer and Amity Horror guys. They all had birthdays within 3 days of each other. I'm very proud of that fact.
The big three, wasn't it?
Because I share the same birthday. So Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, Vincent Price.
Buddy's just come into the...
He's come down from his bath and he's really wet.
That was very exciting.
Oh, hello. Yeah. And Vincent Price. I think he's brilliant. He's got an amazing voice and look. Like, he's...
Could you get... he'd be too sort of campered to get away with that now, would he, or not?
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, actors tend to be more... I mean, he'd look too sort of bald and strange to play leading
man. He's
quite
an odd-looking leading man, but he seems quite big. He's bigger than everyone else. He's quite giant. Yeah.
But they were all quite gaunt men in those horror films, weren't they? I mean, they specifically pick people who look quite ghoulish.
Yeah. I mean, my favourite one... my favourite his film was... What's The Mask of the Red Death, which is really a bit creepy and scary.
I've not seen that one.
And The Witchfinder General, which is I really love that. But
he's good in Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, that was one of his last films, wasn't it?
Yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
Because he got really ill. This film is quite interesting because it shows about the evolution of monsters.
Yeah, they're interesting monsters, aren't they?
They're almost like zombie vampires.
Yes, they are exactly that, yeah.
But they're... I don't know how they managed to kill the rest of civilization, or they infected a civilization.
It's not transmitted by biting people.
Oh,
it's airborne.
Okay.
Is the idea in this film. So it's just everybody's been infected gradually, and until they've all got it, rather than
they're
been
so
attacked.
Rubbish. He's at
they
no
are,
point
yeah.
he is under any threat. It's like pushing away a sort of really.
Well, they're like Romero zombies, aren't they, in that regard?
Yeah.
But rather than biting you, they want to hit you with bits of wood.
But so weak, he's just pushing them off as if he's as if he's brushing snow off his shoulders or something.
But that makes,
or dandruff.
That
or
makes
something.
It almost more depressing and isolationist, doesn't it? The fact that they're not even much of a threat, so it's just an annoyance. Every day an annoyance that these are the only people.
And making noise outside of his...
Robert! We're going to kill you!
Robert!
When does he sleep?
He puts jazz on and he sleeps. He's not bothered by it. I wonder how long people call you... How long it would take before you cease to be bothered by it. Because I'm still affected by noise. The slightest bit of noise.
You couldn't fall asleep now if I kept saying Marek to you.
I'd go crazy. I would have shot myself. I would have put a stake for my face.
Maverick.
What are you going to do? It's hilarious how he sort of protected his house compared to I'm Legend, the Will Smith one, where he's really barricaded his place up. This all Vincent Price has done is just stuck one plank against the window and that's
garlic
enough.
And a little mirror.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I'm going to smear some garlic sauce. Just put one. They'll get past that one plank, surely. No.
Also, he doesn't put garlic up anywhere other than the front door because they still submit to etiquette.
Yes, there were zombies back then. You knew where you were with a zombie.
Yeah. I mean, they'd never go round the back door.
No,
it's so rude.
No. They'd always say please and thank you.
Yeah, they'd always bring a fruit basket whenever.
Yeah, they would never bite until invited.
Yeah, no, they were good people, really, good honest people.
I think a lot of the zombies in this film are better behaved than some of the youth of today.
Well,
which is saying something.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer the youth of today to just be middle-aged zombies.
I think I'd be a lot less threatened.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the film?
I did. I found it a bit slow. I was interested because I was so disappointed with the ending of I Am Legend, the film, because it completely bottled on for what, to me, is the entire point of the story. Making it, why did you remake this film with I Am Legend? Like, completely pointless. Because it wasn't that story at all.
It was a great start to the film, I thought.
Great, beautiful. Up to the point of meeting other people.
Yeah.
You know, it was absolutely wonderful, I Am Legend. Done brilliantly. This one, Last Man on Earth, again, they did do the ending from the book, which is brilliant, but sort of in a duff way.
Mm.
I thought you didn't really gather exactly what was going on. It sort of lost itself towards the end, I thought. It sort of got away from itself and was really slow for the first half, and then the second half was a bit confused.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was enough there for a film.
It's an interesting, you know, horror film as a concept and to watch it through, but it's not a classic for a reason, I think.
So, yeah, I give it 5 Marics.
Yeah, I think I'd give it 5 Davids as well. Have you seen Omega Man, which is based on I Am Legend as well?
No. When was that out?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look it up, but... No, I don't know. And there was another one that was made really, really cheaply and rushed out before I Am Legend came out.
I Am Leg.
Ian Leg.
Ian Leg. Ian Leg's the last bloke on earth.
He is.
And
but there's no monsters.
I'd like to see there. I'd like to see Ian Leg.
It's a good film. We should make Ian Leg.
Now, while we're away over the summer, we took about a month off. Yeah. I did see quite a few of the films.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
There were some odd ones. I saw The Muppets from 2012, latest one.
Great fun.
So I thought it was brilliant.
It is great, isn't it? I'm looking forward to the next one immensely.
I was reluctant to watch it because I thought, oh no, it's a cash-in movie, but it's really...
It's not at all. Like, they've sort of encapsulated the spirit of it really well. I did find Chris Cooper's rap really embarrassing.
Yes, me too. Chris Cooper's awful in it.
He's terrible. He's a terrible villain. Yeah. And villain is usually the best role
and
to
I
get.
I couldn't understand. He looks like he's not... That rap thing's awful. But apart from that, it's really uplifting.
Yeah, everything else is great.
That song, Am I a Man or a Muppet in it, is
great.
Genius.
Yeah. It's lovely.
Other films I saw, Magic Mike... Stripping film, I absolutely hate it.
I really liked it. We've talked about that before.
We did last time.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Of course, last time we talked about that. Ruby Sparks.
Don't know it.
It's a film where an author who's struggling to write writes about his perfect woman. She only comes alive, doesn't she?
Oh, like Weird Science.
Weird Science, but with writing instead of magazines and chemistry sets.
Sounds
and
terrible.
Computers. It was... distinctly average.
Okay.
And now I saw a film, a 70s horror called The Sentinel, which is a cult horror. It's a Michael Winner film.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've not seen it.
It's got cult status about a girl, basically, without us knowing, there's a sentinel who's blind, who's overlooking the gateway to hell. And this person... disappears and becomes a sentinel, and this woman is whether she or not. It's an odd horror of that distinct genre you only ever got in the 70s. I think it's been remade actually, but
yeah.
It is archetypal Michael Winner's late 70s. I'm glad I watched it, but I would never watch it again.
Would you recommend it to others, sir?
If you like odd 70s horror and want to know what Michael did apart from Michael Winner did apart from the Big Sleep, was his big one. I don't remember. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of. I never watched any. Haven't watched any Death Wish films.
No, I haven't either. Okay, it's 70s horror. Horror was better back then, wasn't it?
We talked about it before. The grain stuff.
I don't think it's just that though. I think it's something to do with the rough edges that are creepy and get under your skin, whereas everything's sort of edited by people who do music videos these days, so there's no linger, there's nothing, there's no fat on it, therefore it sort of goes by too fast to make any impact at all.
There's no linger. That's a great line.
There's no linger.
I want to sing that Cranberry song, but I'm not going to.
Lingonberries, cranberries, anything.
The one you have to let it linger, didn't you?
Let it linger.
That should
have to Let it linger.
That's what they were listening to in the 70s before it even got made.
Whatever happened to the Cranberries?
They all got shot.
They sang about exclusively horror films, didn't they? Zombies, linger.
I was in my year out when I was before I went to university. I was 18 to 19.
Yeah.
I had to stay in a kibbutz because it was the only place I could afford to stay in because I didn't have any money. And they had a disco, which was rubbish. It was like 3 lights and us getting really... pissed on cheap vodka, and they would just play that Cranberry song.
Wow.
And everyone who wasn't British, like a lot of the like Spanish people, they were mental for it, like it was the best song ever made.
Really?
I thought, what's all this fuss?
I went before I went to university, I went for my 6 months out,
because I couldn't afford to go anywhere, so I sold burglar alarms door to door for 6 months around Leeds, and then went up.
Much safer place now.
Yeah, much safer place. In the first week there, went to a crappy disco in Peru, and Saturday Night by Wigfield came on, and we British folk, because there was a group of us, taught everybody the dance that they didn't know. They'd not seen this dance. They
only knew just purely for its
and
musical
so
quality.
They got it all. They got the dance. All the Peruvians got it. And then we all left the dance floor and just sat at the side watching them going,
I enjoy dancing to Wigfield. I don't care what anyone
thinks. Do it now if you want.
Dun, 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 dun. Wickfield. I wonder what's happened to her. She's probably
hanging out with the Cranberries. Yeah.
There's one film I'd like to recommend for you. Sometimes it's so confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
This was on TV. It's called The King of Devil's Island.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
I hadn't heard of it at all. I watched it by accident on BBC Four. It was like this Norwegian film with Stelling Starsgard, who was playing the headmaster of the school, where in the early sort of 20th century, the kids who were criminals or done the slightest petty crime got sent to this island, sort of like boarding, not prison, sort of borstal sort of place, where they had to do all these activities, and they were, you know, there's abuse going on there, and they're sort of mistreated. Some of the acting, this is a brilliant film.
When's it from?
It's Norwegian, or it's a basic Nordic film. I'm sorry for.
Is it modern though?
Yeah, it was made about 3 years ago, 2010. Brilliant. King of Devil's Island.
How many Marics do you reckon?
8.
What? Okay.
I was really surprised.
There's some
good stuff
coming out of Scandinavia, isn't there? Really good stuff.
Great. Like the bridge was one of my favourites. Another.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, The Killing as well.
Oh, and Headhunters we talked about.
Oh yes, of course.
Really good films. I saw recently, I revisited, because I went home last month, as we know, I revisited an old nostalgic classic that my dad had bought on Blu-ray. I've not watched a Blu-ray before, can you imagine?
I've never seen a Blu-ray.
They just, you know, HD, you know, they're good quality. But I watched The Dark Crystal again, which I love. Watching it, I was reminded how just, when I was a kid, I loved the films of Terry Gilliam and Jim Henson. And Jim Henson, you know, one of the most incredible men, you know, in terms of his influence upon the world, and what a positive influence. Two films, basically, that were his own, Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Mm.
But
did you have a Dark Crystal book?
No.
My brother had this book, it goes with the film, they released a hardback book of all the drawings and the history of it,
all the
backstories
to
the world.
Used to scare
me
so much. No, I absolutely love it, but it's one of my favourite. That was a trip. And then on TV I caught The Chronicles of Riddick again. It is preposterous.
I've not seen it.
Oh man.
There's the new Riddick's out, just Riddick's out, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard it's going to be better.
So it was what was the first one?
Pitch Black, which is a really good little indie, Australian sci-fi indie film that of a ship transporting a load of just sort of, what would you call them? Like
Dickheads,
yeah, a load of dickheads. And a prisoner crash lands on this planet and they have to sort of survive out there.
What's his name in that as well?
Vin Diesel, yeah, that's where the character of Riddick comes from. So he's the prisoner. And so he escapes from the crash, and then it turns out there's something worse than Riddick on this planet.
Oh,
it's really
blast.
Good. And then they need him to survive because he's
swings and bloody roundabouts.
I know, it's great. It's a really good film, Pitch Black. And then Chronicles of Riddick is preposterously bloated. But it did bring the world the Necromongers, who I think are amazing. They're just space fascists. Space fascists.
These are all words nicked from H.P. Lovecraft, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Who are and all the monsters are basically quite like Lovecraft monsters. Who are any H.P. Lovecraft?
Can you believe I haven't? I own the Necronomicon. It's over there and I've not read it yet.
H.P. Lovecraft.
Shuggoths and Buggoths and stuff. Shuggy Buggoth.
Yeah, he's so influential, and his writing is amazing and still terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're basically, from what I understand of H.P. Lovecraft, is somebody believes there's some kind of threat in the mythos, some crazy, creepy thing, and in trying to see if they're right, they go slowly mad. That's basically all of them, isn't it?
I used to play the game, you know, everyone has Dungeons & Dragons and all the other games. There's one called Call of Cthulhu, which is based on H.P. Lovecraft stories. And it was, your character goes slowly insane. It's
a terrifying idea.
Same way as if you watch the Chronicles of Riddick. The series.
You do go slowly insane. Yeah. No, I'm hoping Riddick will be fun, because it is a good character. But, yeah, I mean, who cares, really? It's got Katie Sackhoff in it, who played Starbuck in the Battlestar Galactica remake, so I'm quite excited by that.
Sackhoff?
Katie, spelled K-A-T-E-E, and then Sackhoff.
How do you spell that?
S-A-C-K-H-O-F-F.
Good name.
Great name. One of the great names.
Almost a really bad name.
Yeah, almost. But well done, her parents, for getting it just right.
Because they misspelt Katie.
Yeah.
So you think, I've misspelt that, so I won't misspell the second name.
Yeah. It's very good of them. Well, we'll see.
Riddick.
Riddick.
Oh, Riddick, you pillock. Is that a line from the film?
It is. Riddick, you pillock. Close the bloody door. You're letting the sand in.
Oh, Riddick, you divvy. I was trying to think of rubbish insults to my girlfriend the other night. There's a few of them.
You div. People haven't been called a div in a while, have they?
I think divvy's worse than div.
A diminutive is worse, yeah, with a stick and an eye on the
end.
What
does divvy mean?
Divvy. If you're a bit divvy, you're a bit sort of daft.
Yeah.
Dafty. Calling someone a dafty. I was in Nottingham today in a service station.
Full of divvies.
And I was called Ducky, and I found it a bit strange. Mm. They do that, though, in Nottingham.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
I suppose we should talk about emails and contacting us and all that business now. Mm.
Yeah, we're doing another Film Fandango Live, which please do come along. The last one was a lot of fun. And this next one will be on the 29th of October.
It's not going to be like a live podcast. It will be...
A proper night out.
Yeah, so I think we haven't finalised anything yet, but it could be us showing films and being like a sort of... a bit like a movie quiz night.
Yeah.
Coming in
film-related Halloween costumes would be a must, really, must.
Or
encouraged.
Or naked.
Yeah, or naked. Well, you can... Who would that be?
Come back to life. Yeah. You'd be the Invisible Man who...
Chevy Chase.
He's become visible and he hasn't been able to find enclosure.
Yeah.
Or you'd be... who's that big blue one in The Watchmen?
That is Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. He's naked, isn't he?
A lot of the time, yeah. All you'd have to do is draw on your forehead in biro.
And be blue.
Well, okay, draw over your entire body in biro. Take a while.
I think that's too dark.
Or, probably cheaper and easier, just give blue sunglasses to everyone else.
Yes, or just put a blue light, fit a blue light above your head so it douses you in blue.
Might even work.
And one from the bottom, and wear two on your toes, so you get all the under bits as well.
That people would definitely think there's Dr. Manhattan.
And maybe take some spare blue bulbs with you. These are just ideas.
Yeah.
Just ideas.
But that's going to be a lot of fun. We will go to our Facebook page, and as soon as tickets are available, we will post them on there. It's facebook.com/filmfandango.
And what are the other mediums?
You can get in touch via email, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or on Twitter, @filmfandango. And if you'd like to help us with the running costs of this podcast...
It costs £8 million to make this, does it?
£8 million an episode, and I don't know where all of that is going.
I cannot rob many more children... I've sold drugs to every single child.
Billionaire children.
I have had to sell so many drugs and sell so many
organs. Is it drugs or jugs? Because...
Well, first of all, I started selling drugs. And
the markup on jugs is far higher.
Well, once people are on drugs, they're willing to pay more for jugs. That's the way it works.
Yeah, well, if you'd like to donate to our running costs, then any amount would be deeply appreciated.
And for all those people who have, it's really kind of you. Thank you very much.
And when you do, we get told your name. So we genuinely are, you know, we know it's you, and we're very grateful.
And we think about you.
We do. We dream about you.
And there's also, there's Twitch, sorry, that was me burping some tea.
That's quite
It wasn't right. A burp, it was just that sort of thing where what was that thing where it's not a burp but it gets caught in between and you stop it? That's a burp, isn't it?
I guess it's a burp.
Let's not even draw attention to it. I could have got away with it.
Yeah, it's a swallowed burp. It should have a name, that. A swallowed burp, a swerp.
A swallop. A swallop. Yeah. What do you want, buddy? That's Buddy the dog.
He's very damp. But yes, to finish that thought, if you would like to donate, then go to filmfandango.co.uk.
And then you can contact us on Twitter, @filmfandango. But the main thing is our email, which we find really useful. It's dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Please send in any 1 minute film reviews, because we will need to break up our voices.
Buddy, sorry about those noises. Buddy the dog has just had a bath and he's now trying to dry himself on Marek's back, seemingly.
It's quite erotic.
It's quite erotic.
It's a bit like that scene from Ghost. With less clay and more fur.
It's lovely. You make a very charming Demi Moore, Marek.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, we'll be back next week, I guess.
With some more films from the cinema. And we're back now, aren't we? So
we're back weekly. So tell your friends. As Ben Affleck would say, I want you to tell all your friends about me. We'll be back next week.
If I survive this attack from Buddy. Anyway, keep watching films.
Keep watching the films. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.